would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
And here we are for another wonderful episode of St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. We're back to the regular programming sort of way of doing things. The fans have spoken. Last week I did a solo, mostly music show, and it had record low downloads. So I guess people don't like the music, and they don't like my opening monologue. So I'm going to retreat back into the standard format. I've got a guest coming up later, so you can just skip ahead of this part if that's what you want to do. The one before it with Chris Trotter didn't do great either. The Mark Splewitt episode, two episodes back, did pretty good, which for me still isn't great, but it got in the 30s, which I can't complain. Maybe it dropped off because of Mark Splude's wildly controversial, that's not a word, his wildly controversial views on comedians doing new material. It really tore the roof off the whole St. John comedy scene. I should note that we just had No Jokes Barred Deluxe this past Friday, and Splude had a great set. He didn't twist my panties too much with his shocking views, as he was worried that he might. I was too busy laughing and having a good time. So for the record, it's still no Splude's Barred. Other than that, I'm still adjusting to the new job. It's not going, it could be worse, but it's not great. I'm not sure if this is a rough patch or if it's a sign that I've just made a really bad decision. I do like working with the kids, but I hate being a disciplinarian. It sucks. Last week I got punched, kicked, yelled at, and my knuckles got cut with a shiv made out of a broken off CD. But the upside is I get to go to the beach every day. I've got a little bit of a tan. That's not usual for me, but anyway, that's along with some catch up on what happened with the old job. That's mostly what I talked about. I made a return to my therapist today. It's been like a month and a half. I feel like I'd probably save money on therapy if she just would listen to the radio show. That way I could go in for a meeting and I could just skip right over the recap and cut right to the healing. But I mostly just say what's been going on since last time. She asked me some questions, and it's good to talk it out there. But I don't know. I can't really afford to go as often, which would also cut down on the recaps. I got my first paycheck last week, and it was about $400 less for 2 weeks than what I got at my old job. So that's it could be worse, but it's not great. But just the biggest problem is just the constant nagging that I have to do day after day, hour after hour. It's the worst part of my job, but I spend most of my day saying, no, stop, get down from there, please, come on, let's go, everybody's waiting for it, put that away, don't touch that, don't trick that kid into eating sunscreen by telling him it's frosting. It's just, I'm constantly killing the party, and it's a bummer. It's not exactly what I thought the job was going to be. I want to help identify barriers to them having a good time and to help them overcome those barriers. That's what I don't want to be the wet blanket. It's just a drag, which is why, in my free time, I don't want to be the comedy police either. I don't want to say, no, don't touch that. Don't do that. I don't want to fill up a little black book with lists of who said what to who and who's on whose podcast and who's not showing me the proper levels of respect. I don't want to be the gatekeeper. I just want to do fun shows, and I want other people to do fun shows with me and with each other. In my No Jokes Barred shows, it was always supposed to be inclusive. It's just any comic can do any jokes they want and how they want it. That is all. That is the mission statement. I try to follow that, and if you think I've failed, then tell me about it. Try maybe not like screaming in my face, but I'll hear about it. I'm putting my thoughts out into the world, so it's only fair that they're open to be challenged, and that's fine, because I want to do better, and I want to be better, and sometimes I need help with that, and other people need to let me know, so that's fine. I've said before that I only had two people, aside from some spam accounts, blocked on my Facebook, which is incredible for a local St. John comedy showrunner. One of those people actually reached out to me this past week to bury the hatchet, and that was nice. We've had our differences, but I'm more than happy to bury that hatchet. So maybe that person might want to come on this show someday and talk about it. I haven't brought it up. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but if it does, you'll hear it here on St. John Forward Radio. So it's just one more to go on John Forward's Facebook block list. That one's probably going to be a long time, if ever, and I'm okay with that. Because, like I said, I just want to do shows. I want other comics to do my shows. I want other comics to make their own shows. I want to be on those shows. I just hope everybody's having as much fun as they can, and I'm happy when I get to be a part of it. And shows are so rewarding that sometimes it's worth getting punched, kicked, and shivved by children who've had a rough life, and they really don't know any better. Sometimes I just need to let them sit on the bench alone and be upset for a while and wait for it to pass. And we can all get back to having fun again. So that's what's happening with me. I'm joined by my guest, Sarah Rankin. Are you called the director of the Fundy Fringe Festival? Is that right?
Yeah, festival director.
Festival director. So thank you for coming. Anyway, that was the sound of her voice, and we'll hear more of it later. But let's take a quick break for a song, so I can go to the drinking fountain because I'm feeling a little dry. Let's hear some "Make You Feel That Way" by Blacklicious, and we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio.
Hearing now income vibes, blind man gaining sight, see his first sunrise. Dumb man speaking out, now he's loud and clear. Birth of your child, smile so proud you wear. Going in your third eye for nostalgia here. Making music that'll thump for 1,000 years. Eating right, feeling conscious like help is first. Said a prayer that's sincere and you felt it work. Times I feel I wanna shout, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way. All up in her vibe, vibe, something coming over me. Summer days more likely that you notice breezes. Winter days more likely that you notice heat. When I'm gone, more likely that you notice me. In the dark, it's more likely that you notice light. In the light, more likely that you notice night. Hungry, more appreciation for that meal. Dead broke, more appreciation for that grill. A bad day will make you really notice once it's good. And that'll make things a little better understood. Times I feel I want to shout, man, it's real that way. When I think of things that make you feel that way.
We are back here on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with Sarah Rankin, Festival Director for the St. John Fundy Fringe Festival. Hello again.
Hello, hello.
So, you're probably tired of answering the question of what is a Fringe Festival.
I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, I'm not. Instead, as a roundabout, unique way of approaching basically the same topic. Can you tell me about the first time you attended a Fringe Festival?
Oh my gosh. Well, it had to be Atlantic Fringe. Now known as Halifax Fringe, I guess. And I was in university at the time. I was going to Mount Allison and studying theater there. And there was a couple people that had graduated from the program already, and I was friends with them, and they're like, hey, we're doing shows down at the Atlantic Fringe in Halifax, come down, check them out. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So we all piled into a car, went down, checked out their show, and I ended up seeing a bunch of shows, and it was just like this crazy environment of, you know, theater after theater after theater after theater. And it was just so overwhelming to see that much creativity kind of just emanating from one area of Halifax. So I thought, that's kind of a cool thing. And I kind of put that in the back of my mind. And, you know, years later down the road, they were looking to rejig a theater festival that was already happening in St. John Theater on the Edge. And Stephen Tobias approached me, and it got morphed into the Fundy Fringe Festival. And it's been that for now 5 years. So right. It's been pretty cool. We're having a time.
Yeah, so the idea of it, there's it varies by different festivals. There's all kinds of different ones in different cities, but basically there's a bunch of different kinds of shows in different venues. We've got how many venues is it in St. John's?
Five. We have 5 venues in St. John, but I mean, some of the larger festivals have, you know, crazy numbers like 15, 20 venues, and that's just indoor. And then they've got an extra like 10 that are outdoor venues, and they got, you know, 5 beer tents, and it's crazy, some of the larger ones. But yeah, we just do the 5 venues.
Do you remember which shows you saw that first year?
And at the Halifax Fringe?
Or just kind of like what kinds of shows you saw, and what made it special?
You know what? It wasn't necessarily just the shows that made it special. Like, I can remember seeing, you know, storytelling, and I remember seeing... man, this is so long ago. It's hard to dig out those memories now. Feels like, well, it's got to be over 10 years now. Oh, God.
Must have made an impression on you.
Well, it wasn't this, like I said, it wasn't just shows that made the impression on me. It was just the environment and the community that surrounded this fringe movement. I thought, this is really cool. Like, it really is its own entity of theater in the world. It's got its own superstars, and it's got its own celebrities, and it's got its own rhythm and heartbeat to it that you don't see at other theater festivals, because these people are there to try and, you know, try something new, throw shit at the wall and see if it sticks. So there's that risk involved. It's, you know, it's an adventure.
Yeah, well, and it's the same thing for the people that are going to see the show. They don't really know what they're in for. They get the flyer that has the list of how many shows in total this
20.
Year? 20.
Yeah, we started with 15 back in the first year, and we added 5 extra shows a couple of years ago, and I think it was a good decision. Getting more options out there is really helpful, because people will complain and say, well, I saw that show last year and I didn't like it, and I'm not going to come back to the Fringe. And I'm like, well, the shows change every year, so you may want to rethink that strategy.
Yeah, and that's how I approached it. I just kind of look through the flyer and pick out a handful of shows that sound interesting, and some of them are good, and sometimes they're not. But it's fine. It's a cheap ticket anyway.
Exactly. It's $10. You're out. You know, $10. That's not gonna hopefully make or break your bank account.
and it's a fun week of just stuff going on every night, and you can get a group of friends together and. Different people can go to different stuff, and there's that community thing too, where you can talk to other people and they can tell you about the shows that they've seen, and stuff kind of gets the word of mouth going.
Yeah.
So what this year in particular, like, what part of the Fringe is that there's all different kinds of shows. So what kinds of, like, the show that I'm doing, Honey Garlic, is a storytelling show. What are other kinds of things that are happening?
We do have quite a bit of storytelling. It's a very popular genre in Fringe because it's easy to stage. A couple of cool things that are coming this year that I never thought we'd ever really see in the Fundy Fringe is we've got a lot of magic shows this year, which is kind of cool. Slam Poet. I never thought I'd see a Slam Poet in the lineup, but that's awesome. Dance shows. We've got a group coming from Halifax, Nostos Collective. They were here the past couple of years. We've got Maritime Tribal doing belly dancing. They're back from last year. And then we've got, you know, international shows. We've got one that's a John Clancy play. I didn't realize John Clancy wrote plays. I thought he was just like a kind of a lawyer novel type.
Isn't that Tom Clancy?
Or is it Tom Clancy? Yeah, Tom Clancy. Yeah. That's his name.
Oh, okay. Yay. So the play is also Tom Clancy, or is there two separate guys?
No. It's a Tom Clancy written play. I messed that one up. But yeah, anyway, so it's just interesting, like, discovering that kind of stuff. I never really thought that we would see that kind of... I never thought we would see 5 years sometimes. I didn't know if we would make it this far, and we have. It's crazy.
I'd encourage people to try different things. Like, I wouldn't, under most circumstances, if somebody said, hey, do you want to come to this modern dance show? I would probably say no, but I went to one last year, and it didn't hurt that it had semi-nude women in it, so, and lots of humping.
A lot of balloon popping in that one. I remember that show.
but I had a good time, and it's funny, even the shows that I've watched that I haven't enjoyed were interesting in their own way, just because the stakes of it, and it's small and it's very intimate, and you can tell that there's some kind of a weird energy to it, even if it's not really vibing with
it. That's the thing. Like, it, and I'm still working on it, and I've been doing this for 5 years, and it's like, I still can't quite put my finger on it. What is it that makes that energy happen? I'm not sure if it's the artist coming in and everyone's just kind of, you know, it's almost like summer camp in a weird way. You know, there's the different people, and you're all kind of coming together, and you may not know them by the end of the 5 days. They're like your new best friend, and you can't wait to see them again when they come back the next year or whatever it might be. And maybe it's just the booze. I don't know. Maybe it's just that everyone's a little bit drunk the whole time. Yeah. And suddenly after 2 or 3 drinks, everybody's your best friend.
Yeah. No, and I was looking forward to jumping. I've participated in the Fringe Festival the last 2 years, but this week, at my previous job, I had the whole week booked off for vacation so I could kind of immerse myself in it, but my new job only goes for the summer, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to take that week off, and like I'll be getting off early enough that it's not going to interfere with the actual show schedule, but now that I've been chasing around kids all day, it's kind of exhausting, and I'm a little bit worried that I'm just going to be completely drained by the end of the day, and I'm not going to be able to put on a good show.
That's what sick days are for.
I don't get sick days.
Ah, damn it.
11-week-long job. I don't know how many sick days that has.
But, oh.
I don't know. All of my coworkers.
We'll make it happen.
All of my coworkers are like 18 to 20, so there's no way that I'm going to be less reliable than them. I think they're probably used to people just... There's people that just didn't show up for the whole training week because they had prom parties to go to.
Bring the kids with you to the Fringe. Yeah. Bring them to see your show.
No, that's a weird thing at work, which I want to keep separate because it's not... summer kids day camp appropriate for the most part, but when they're like, oh, ask him what he does on the weekends, I'm like, oh, I do comedy. Tell us a joke. No.
That happens to me too, actually, because I teach during the school year, and inevitably I'll be doing a show or something like that, and I'll be talking about it with one of my coworkers, and the kids will overhear and they'll be like, what, you're in a show? Where is it? Is that the Imperial? And immediately I'm just like, go away. Don't talk to me about this.
Yeah, you get, is it the Imperial? I get, is it at Yuck Yucks? That's my version. And I have to explain why not.
No, it is not at Yuck Yucks.
No, this is, no jokes part is the St. John Comedy Fringe Festival. Every month.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's why it's great to have you guys in the Fringe, in one way, shape, or form. You guys have been there for the past 3 years. And it's cool because you guys very much hold the same values that the Fringe movement holds, that it's grassroots, that it's, it's about the locals. It's about, trying something new and, breaking outside of the box a little bit and just... giving it a shot, and everybody should have a chance. There should be like you said, there's no jokes barred, right? There's no show barred with the Fundy Fringe and with any fringe. If you want to try a show, you get in on the lottery, awesome. We have no control over what you do once you get in there. I mean, Tim Turnell is a perfect example. I mean, the very first year he was in the Fundy Fringe and he did a show called I Get Naked in the End, and he got naked in the end. Every single night he was completely naked. There's not many places you could get away with that. You try approaching a professional theater festival saying, well, I have a show where I talk about Shakespeare and my life, and I slowly strip myself until I am naked in front of the entire audience. Most people are just going to be like, yeah, no, that's not going to work for us.
Would you suggest that I get naked at the end of my show?
You know what? We have a standing tradition that there's at least one naked person in the Fringe every year. First year it was Tim Turnell. Second year it was Scott Lilly in Portrait. Third year, it was, I forget in the third year. We had that group from Montreal, Théâtre Cata. They were a contemporary dance group from Montreal, and they did all sorts of simulated sex acts on stage. They may as well have been naked. They were getting into the bums, and they were given head to lollipops and everything. It was crazy. So, close enough. And then last year, there was the contemporary dance show that you saw where they were popping balloons and doing a little cabaret routine. So, there's always somebody naked at the Fringe.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's an organic way to fit nudity in my my tales of childhood trauma and family deaths.
I think childhood trauma and nudity kind of go hand in hand. You mean...
Most of my childhood traumas happened with the clothes on.
Aww.
What a drag, right?
Oh.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about some other stuff. Do you want to set up the song request that you had?
Yeah, sure. I actually saw a little sign over in the corner that said no top 40, and I was just like, oh, I hope this band isn't top 40 yet, but they're getting pretty popular, so I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed. Beck and Call by July Talk.
All right. I've seen them live a couple of times.
Yeah, me too. And they're so incredibly energetic. And the connection between the two of them, I often feel like I need a cigarette after I watch them perform because they're so hot. Yeah. They're so into each other when they perform. And yet there's this element of mystery about them. I just think they're fun to watch and I love their music.
Yeah, I really like it. When I first heard it, I think it came up on my my Spotify Discover Weekly, and I thought that it was Everlast featuring somebody else.
First time I heard him, I thought it was Tom Waits of Back from the Dead. I was like, who is this guy?
Is Tom Waits dead?
Isn't he?
I don't think so.
No?
I'm going to have to Google that on the break. I think he's still around.
The phone's out. The Google is happening.
Yeah. let's hear some July Talk, and we'll be back with Sarah Rankin on St. John Forward Radio.
90.3 FM, Sif Me, your campus and community radio station in St. John and surrounding areas.
And we are back yet again, St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with Sarah Rankin. I always forget to give out the phone number. If anybody wants to join the conversation, or if you're a fringer and you want to pimp your show or whatever, or if you got questions for either of us, 648-5925 is the phone number.
Shameless self-promotion is encouraged, as always.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it that I'm hoping to get more into this year. I went to the workshop that they had a little while ago, and that was helpful.
Yeah, Nancy Kenny. She's a pro, really. She's toured 3 different shows across the country through the fringe circuit. Mm-hmm. She's working on one right now called Your Princess is in Another Castle. She toured one last year called Everybody Dies in December, and then the one that she brought to St. John this year was called Roller Derby Save My Soul. And she actually made a documentary about touring the fringe circuit with Roller Derby Save My Soul, and it's a absolutely fascinating documentary to see what that is like, what it's like to have a show and just kind of throw your shit in a backpack, hop in a car and drive across the country. Mm-hmm. Doing this show, and you know, there's hits and misses. Basically, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that eventually we can get either a copy of it, or I can get Nancy back down here to show the documentary. Yeah. Unfortunately, she's going to Taipei soon to show the documentary there. So,
does she have a big Taipei following?
I hope, but yeah. I think it's a wonderful documentary, so hopefully we'll get that out here sometime. But yeah, she had some great tips on really just how to get the word out and treat yourself like a pro.
Yeah. And now that I think of it, or this might be an off-mic conversation, but she was going to send off like a package to all of her emails and all of her stuff, and I did not receive that.
I didn't either. And I keep meaning to reach out to her and see if we can get some of that information sent out to you guys, because I think it's going to be super valuable for everybody to see what, you know, what does a press release look like and how do I structure that.
You sent off the link that's on the Vancouver Fringe website that has some of that stuff
and,
on there.
Yeah, the Vancouver Fringe... I mean, that resource, I was blown away by. They put a lot of time and effort into that. It's just a series of videos, but they're each aligned to a different thing that, you know, an artist may struggle with. You know, how do I promote my show? How do I do hand billing? How do I get the concept even up? How do I apply to festivals? How do I find all this information? How do I get backers to help support this art? So, yeah, that was a great resource. But, yeah, I think partly, too, with Nancy, that where she's been on the road, doing the Fringe Circus. She was in London, then she was in Ottawa, and I think she's in Toronto right now, and she's getting prepared to go out west. I mean, things kind of trickle down, and things get lost in the kerfuffles of it all. So I'll reach out to her, and I'll see what we can do there.
Yeah, and this is going to be different. We didn't... 2 years ago, I did the first Fringe Festival that I did. I did a No Jokes Barred show. I had... I made myself the headliner. That was my first time doing a 30-minute set, and I got to do it 5 nights in a row. I had Trevor Muxworthy on that, and I had the Hoveland guys hosting it, and that was mostly a straight stand-up show. There was the bit of the sketch stuff involved with the Hoveland guys. And then last year, I was just more of a hired gun. I didn't have all the stress of having to put the show together and figure all that stuff out. And we did Hoveland, the musical Comes Alive, or whatever it was called.
Best write-up I've ever received for a program. Yeah. We were so confused. We get summer students that we hire to go over and like proofread the program information. And when... the one for the Hoveland musical came through, so they brought it into my office and they were like, I don't know how, can you take a look at this one for me? And I was like, okay. And I was like, I think this is intentional, guys. Just, you know, run with it. Run with it. Trust me, run with it. So, yeah. Yeah, that went through us for a loop.
Yeah, and that was fun, and it was less stressful just appearing on the show and not having to worry about all the mechanics of it, but it's a one-man show this year.
I was going to say, you're flying solo.
Yeah, and I had I had originally thought, like, oh, I had, like, ideas for, like, music and sound cues and stuff, but I figure I just need to strip it back and have just me and a microphone, and if it's successful or if I want to do it again, then maybe I can build on it, but I thought the first time out, just keep it simple
and see what it is. And there is something to be said for that, you know, not having a lot of hoopla attached to it and just kind of letting the story speak for itself and letting you do the work rather than relying on anything else. I think it's going to be an awesome experience for you.
Yeah. Cause I had, the first time I was offered like a headline at like a real show, I did one at the Delta a year ago, and I had like a video intro and like sound cues and a lighting cue, and the first thing got screwed up and it just threw me off, and it was a terrible show, and I fell on my face a bit, and I've learned from the experience. So as soon as I start getting fancy ideas, then I'm just trying to dial it back. But I want to double down on the promotional stuff, because we never really did much of that for the other shows, other than just the usual way I promote a comedy show, which is not very hard. Just making a Facebook group, and I don't even know if I did a sponsored ad before. I will this year.
It can't hurt. I mean, it cannot hurt.
Yeah, and I got the poster made up, and I'm happy with that. I haven't officially released it yet, but
soon.
Yeah.
You know, once it's up there, then we'll spread the word ourselves and everything like that. I mean, that's the nice thing about being able to use social media. It's just, it's free. Yeah. It doesn't cost anything to post a picture of the poster and spread the word that way. But yeah, it's, I think that's a great strategy actually for a fringe artist, is to, you know, when you look at the budget, where are you putting your money? Are you putting your money into making the show look pretty and look and sound attractive? Or are you putting the money into getting asses into the theater to see the show?
Yeah.
And having a pretty show is not what brings the money in. What brings the money in is the audience.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do anything, put your money into the promotions and getting a stellar poster and getting a stellar promotional whatever worked out so that people know about the show. Because you could have the most brilliant show in the world that looks great, sounds great, has all the sound cues and all that kind of stuff, but if nobody fucking knows it exists, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So looking to do better than I had before. You're the director, so you probably hear a lot of talk about the shows. What is some of the, I'm sure you got some, what is some of the worst negative feedback you got about either of the shows that I participated
in? Oh man. Years? Why are you gonna be like that?
I'm the one that's gotta suffer through it. Don't sugarcoat it.
No. Oh man.
Give me the worst of the worst.
The worst. Oh God.
And I'm actually not even going to take it personally, because I know that I'm a stronger performer than I was last year and especially the year before.
I remember hearing one person saying that there was a problem with a sound cue, and that whatever the sound cue or the light cue or some cue was either missed or it didn't work. And
like last year?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, the rap song that the intro is made out of, I don't think it went well. I think we nailed it once, but one night it just was all staticky, and then, the timing was off.
So something happened there, which led to some of the guys kind of getting into a bit of an argument about it on stage, but people were so... They thought it was just part of the show.
Well, some of it was.
So it was like, okay.
That's the good part of it. When it did screw up, there was enough built-in screw-ups that you don't really entirely know when it is and when it's not.
Yeah,
Most of the onstage fighting was scripted, though.
Okay, so there we go. Yeah, a lot of people thought that it was like, oh my gosh, they're really laying into each other about this, and they're not dealing with this well. Like, but yeah, good to know it was just part of the show then. You got them. You fooled them.
Yeah, well, which doesn't necessarily lead to a stellar review for somebody else to come. Like, I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
But you know what? The nice thing about the Fringe right now is that we don't have a lot of people coming out to review the shows and critique them. And that's the other thing about Fringe festivals, that they're not juried. So there's no evaluating process of like, oh, who was better than everybody else? So it doesn't matter if you mess up one night or two nights or five nights in a row, because the only people that are going to know about it really, you know, will be the people involved in that community. And and the Fringe community, from my perspective, is pretty forgiving.
Yeah.
They're not going to, you know, take it out on you and be like, jeez, I'm not going to go see that show because look at that thing over there that they did last year. I don't think it's going to be like that. If anything, the vibe I'm getting this year, that when kind of when, especially when the team found out that you were doing a solo show, we were really pumped because we thought, oh, cool. So this is, you know, this is exactly what we were hoping for, is that the local artists would, you know, dabble with the Fringe, and eventually, you know, it would grow, and it would, and artists would grow with the Fringe, and, you know, try to make something bigger and better than they thought that they would be able to create. And I think that what you're doing is a testament to that.
This will be a big step for me. It will be my first time doing that.
It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna
performance at all.
It's gonna be fantastic. I can't wait, dude.
Yeah, and I haven't really talked about it much on this show, but if you're like a John Forward comedy super fan, you'll have heard a lot of it before if you're out to every show. But just the context of it will be different. I'm focusing on it's a storytelling show. I don't want to confuse people that think it's a stand-up show. And at the same token, I also want to trick some of the fancy theater people coming with them knowing that it's a stand-up show or that I'm a comedian. The poster design actually originally said a comedy show starring John Forward, and I was like, no, that's confusing. Change it to storytelling show. So yeah, I thought the context, and we were talking about this before, about how some people would say that I'm too much of a storyteller for a comedy show sometimes, and they're not wrong, but I thought in this context, instead of being a joke light stand-up show, it will be a joke heavy one man show, and I'm curious to see how it goes. I'm going to be disappointed if I fail, but I'm not going to regret doing it no matter what, because I think the harder I fail, and there's been several key moments throughout my comedy career, it's just made me get better to avoid the shame of having that happen again.
Well, for the sake of potentially sounding way too cheesy, the fact that you're even going for it proves that you haven't failed.
Yeah.
Right? The person that fails is the person that says, oh, I'm not good enough for that, or it didn't work the last two times, I'm not going to do it again. That's the person that fails. The person who doesn't apply to be in the Fringe, the person who doesn't even try, that's the one that fails in my mind, because they're not taking any risks.
Yeah, and I'm doing something different than the rest of the comedy community by even trying this. I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head that could even attempt what I'm trying to do.
And this is the thing, like, once they see you doing it, that might motivate them to say, you know what, I can be more than just what I've created here. I can be bigger than that. Bigger than just the R-bar. Bigger than this.
Shackled by Jokes.
Oh, that's the name of your next show, Shackled by Jokes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Fringe 2018.
Yeah, like I want to be able to, it's still going to be a funny show, but I want to have the freedom to just be interesting and have people engaged without necessarily spitting beer. Is there alcohol at the St. John Arts Center? That's where I'm at.
There isn't, unfortunately. It's one of the venues that we could have alcohol at. I think they have a license of some sort. If liquor is required, let me know and I'll see what magic I can work.
It couldn't hurt.
It can't hurt. All right. I'll see what I can do.
We don't need to, like, strap anybody down and pour it into their mouth with a funnel, but if somebody wants to have a drink while they're there, I think it would be a good option to have if that's in the cards.
All right. I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to the Art Center's been such great supporters of us since day one that I have no fear that this is something that they could probably work with. I'll see what I can do.
I'm going to be telling some uncomfortable stories, and people could probably stand to be loosened up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it either way.
Worst comes to worst, we'll tell them to stop into Vito's first on their way up the hill.
Yeah.
Or just pop into the liquor store, because now it's like basically in the backyard of the Art Center.
Right.
And just pop in there and bring in a 4-pack and just sit and drink.
Yeah. Is that allowed?
I don't think so, but...
Hide it well. Get one of those book bags with a straw.
I want one of those purse that has the false bottom you can put wine in. I think that's what I need.
Yeah. But we'll try to have you covered for legitimate alcohol. We'll see what happens.
Legit alcohol consumption.
Can you tell me more about the space? I haven't really been in there. I think the only time I've ever been there, I saw the Port City All-Stars play a show in the lobby.
So the lobby isn't actually what we use for performance. What we use is an area called Tompkins Hall. Mm-hmm. It's in the back of it. And it can sit probably about 50 people, 75 actually, if we fill up the balcony, which is possible. It's a pretty low tech space. There's not
is the balcony open by default, or does that only get opened up if there's too many people to fit on the bottom?
I think they only will open it up if it gets too full in the bottom.
That's for the best. I wouldn't want the balcony to fill up and me be talking to empty seats down below.
Exactly. Yeah. No. It's. Our volunteers are pretty good about making sure that people take the seats that are available there and only using the balcony if necessary. I think it's a great space for kind of the storytelling atmosphere because it can be an intimate space. It can be really pretty close quarters with the audience.
Is there a stage?
There is, yes. Okay. There is a stage. There is a curtain.
Okay.
There's all that stuff. We bring in lights. We rent a lot of equipment for that because a lot of the spaces that we use, for the most part, don't have a huge amount of tech, and we have to import it, like Sanctuary Theater, like the Art Center. We import a lot of tech there. Occasionally, with the museum, we have to import some tech there. Obviously, the BMO Studio Theater doesn't really need to be hooked up. It's already set up to be that. And the Imperial Theater, the upstairs balcony, is being used as a space this year, and we're very fortunate that the Imperial Theater is letting us use their crew to get that space hooked up and everything like that. So it's been a real asset. Back to the Art Center. It's an intimate space. It is not currently set up to have liquor in it, but I will talk to Andrew Kirstead.
Deal breaker.
But it is something that it is nice to have.
Yeah.
And I get that. We have three venues that do serve alcohol, for sure. Obviously, the BMO Studio Theater serves alcohol. The Imperial Theater has a bar in it. The Sanctuary Theater last year, we asked if we could put a bar in there, and they were very accommodating for that, too. So, who knows? Maybe year five, we'll see if we'll add a fourth venue that's got some alcohols in it.
All right.
Worst comes to worst, I'll bring a bunch of beers in my purse, and I'll just start distributing them during the show. Like, do you want one? Do you want a beer? Do you want
a beer? We'll spike the punch. All right. Well, let's take another break, and then we'll come back with some more talking to Sarah Rankin. Former guest on this show, Rudy Windsor. He was on a few weeks ago. That was before his album came out, and the Kill Devils album, Black Moon Goons, has since come out, and I bought it, and I do not regret my purpose. I don't regret that either, but I also don't regret the purchase. So let's hear some Rot on the Radio by the Kill Devils, and then we'll be back.
Radio.
And we are back with Fundy Fringe Festival director Sarah Rankin. Do you have any other advice for me this year, in particular to what I'm doing, or just in general that we haven't already covered?
Besides shameless self-promotion.
Not a problem.
Be a whore for yourself, basically. Just let the world know you're there. Come out to some of the stuff that we do. Like, we often set up at the Queen Square Farmers Market. We often set up at the City Market just to promote the festival. And we try to invite artists out to that, too, so that they can self-promote their show.
The Queen Square one once last week. But I might go down there more often this year
and just talk
to people and...
And just promote the show, handball, talk to people about what you're doing.
I need to figure out my elevator pitch.
Yes, exactly. The elevator pitch. You need to be able to get the gist out of your show in like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Find a hook of some sort that, you know, pulls the heartstrings or makes them laugh.
Yeah.
Or both at the same time, ideally.
Yeah, well, that's what I want the show to kind of be. Like, I think... Yeah, I don't know. When I went to the Fringe Festival in Halifax, where I was telling you, I spent some time talking to Gerard Harris. He put on a storytelling workshop during one of the days, and I went in and sat in on that, and I told like a piece of one of my stories, like a quick 4-minute version, which is going to be in this show, and just sat around circle of people in chairs, and I just told a story to them, and got feedback on it, and that was really helpful. I think that's when I kind of got the idea that, like, yeah, I can do this.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, and the feedback was really helpful. The one that stuck out for me was, and just the way people said things about how I do things that I'm not conscious of that are working for me, and I need to know about them so I continue to do so. Like they said, like I told a story about something that happened to me when I was a kid, which should be really sad and depressing and possibly angry, but I kind of tell it very matter-of-factly and just, this is what it is, and I just kind of let it speak for itself without adding that extra judgment of, this is a really bad thing that happened. I just say what happened, and that's not something I really thought about, and just little things like how it was commented on that within the story, I answer all of the questions that people come up with in their mind. Like every time you bring up a topic, they're like, oh, but what if it, like I kind of answered that. I explain, which wasn't planned, but I explain what a normal day in that situation would look like, and then I say, but this is what happened this time, just to kind of give that. So that kind of stuff was right helpful on. And I'm gonna probably sit down with the Hovland guys and some friends and run through, once I get my final draft done, run that through for some friends and get that kind of feedback and see what's working and what's not.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, participate in that, in the preview night that we always do too, that I find is immensely helpful. I've seen wonderful shows in the Fringe before, but because they either didn't attend the preview night, mm-hmm. or because they weren't around, or they chose not to, or they just didn't do a good pitch.
Yeah.
Like, they basically stood there and said, hi, my name is so-and-so.
I did a great job. I didn't really do a piece of the show because I didn't want to spoil any of it, but I think this time I just need to pick one solid chunk and just do it.
Exactly, and just go for it. And, yeah, because if you don't have a good pitch in that preview, it can make or break whether or not, you know, people will come and see your show, because that's their first real glimpse of what the show could be. Yeah. Last year, Peter Aguero, who is from New York, he did a storytelling show called Daddy Issues, and he came up and he had like a 1-minute piece from his show. He didn't introduce himself. He didn't say like, hi, my name's Peter Aguero and I'm doing a show called Daddy Issues. He mm-hmm. just launched right into the story that he was going to do as a bit of a clip and ended it on a teaser note and just said, and you have to come see my show to see the rest of that. My name's Peter Aguero, Daddy Issues, St. John Ale House. And that was it.
Yeah.
And it worked. So.
Yeah. I'll have to find something that has a good part that has a good cliffhanger to it, maybe.
Yeah. That something that, you know, idea. Something that entrances the audience a little bit and gets them hooked.
Yeah, so the festival runs, is it the 21st to the 26th, or is it the 27th?
Nope, the 21st to the 26th. The 21st is when we're having the preview night over at the BMO Studio Theater, and then the 22nd to 26th is when we have our shows running. Yeah. Every single day.
Previous years, the preview was on the Tuesday, and the shows ran Wednesday to Saturday. Why did that change?
We did Wednesday to Sunday the past couple of years. But it was basically because what we noticed was Saturday, there was so much hype, and people were out, and they were seeing shows, and we had the big dance party at the end, and it was all kinds of awesome. And then Sunday just felt kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Quiet, and that's not how I wanted to end the festival. I don't want it to end on this kind of soft note of, you know, 20 plus performers who are all hung over from the night before, who are dragging themselves to their shows and really are not putting on their best performance because they're hung over from dancing until 4 in the morning. And then have to get up and do a show at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It just seemed really odd, and so we thought, well, let's bump it back a day. So we do the preview on Monday this year, and then Tuesday through to Saturday, and that way we can kind of end on a high note.
Yeah.
And it just is a bit more fun that way, I think. Well, and also Tuesday night is not a bad night to have shows, because I mean, when I looked at the preview night audiences, I'm thinking, okay, if this many people are willing to come out to a preview night on a Tuesday evening, they're just going to be as likely to do it on a Monday. And if they're willing to go out on a Tuesday night to see a preview, then they're also going to go see shows on Tuesday. Yeah. So I'm hoping that by just adjusting it that little bit, it's going to really make the festival feel that much more engaging and that much more amped up.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, the festival would be much longer, too. Most fringes run 10 days.
Yeah.
We run only really for 5 days of shows and then the preview on that one night. And yeah, in a perfect world, I'd love to see I'd love to see the Fundy Fringe become a 10-day festival or even a 7-day festival. Add a few more days in there.
Well, it's easier for people that have day jobs to make it out for a short one, I would imagine.
That is something that I often think about too, is, you know, there's pros and cons to it, right? Yeah. Having a 5-day festival is, one, it's easy to manage. It's very much less stressful than probably what I would assume it would be like managing a 10-day festival.
Yeah.
And yeah, our artists maybe don't want to do a 10-day festival. They just need the 5 days. That's all they really can handle. It's all they really want to do, and off they go.
Yeah.
And because we're really close to Atlantic Fringe now, as far as dates go, it's creating kind of a nice loop that basically Atlantic Fringe or Halifax Fringe is 5 days longer because of Fundy Fringe, and technically Fundy Fringe is, you know, another 10 days longer because of the Atlantic Fringe. So we've made a good partnership with them. They're a cool crew.
Yeah. And there's, is there special events happening every night?
Yes. Yep. Try to keep that party going as long as we can. Yeah. the preview night, we're going to have an open mic on Tuesday night. So even if, you know, the Hovland guys aren't in the Fringe, they can still be in the Fringe.
Yeah.
And bring them out to open mic night, I hope. Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Right now, we're not quite sure which day they're going to happen on, but right now we're thinking we're going to have some sort of like really like a bad movie night.
Mm-hmm.
Bring out the popcorn, hang out, watch a really crappy movie. I know what I'd like to see. One of my favorite like horrible movies of all time, The Lost Skeleton of Cadaver.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. It's so ridiculously bad.
Troll 2 is a good one.
Troll 2, yes, yeah. That one's a really bad one too. I love
The Room.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah,
I love shitty movies.
Yeah.
They're the best.
Yeah, I used to have
Hands of Fate.
Yeah. I used to have a movie night with some friends, and I get really frustrated because they'd all be talking the whole time. I'm like, you're missing the best part. The dialogue is the special effects aren't what we're here for.
Yeah, exactly. We're planning a scavenger hunt night for one of the evenings, basically. But it's not going to be like, go find this object and go find this object. It's going to be like a series of challenges that are worth points. So get a selfie with a police officer is like 5 points. Yeah. Ride the moose at Market Square is 10 points and all that kind of stuff. So and then obviously the dance party on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping I can get the week off so I can participate in some.
I hope so too, because it's just so much more fun to be able to partake in those events and do your show and just have a time and not worry about anything else. And that also leaves you free during the day to promote your show.
Yeah.
Get out there, go down to the market, whatever, and handbill and talk to people.
All right. So thank you, Sarah Rankin, for coming in. So,
well, thanks for having me.
Fundy Fringe Festival, August 21st to 26th. I've got my schedule, but I'm not going to read off a bunch of them. You'll have to find his poster. It'll be on the internet. So come see that. Also, No Jokes Barred at the R Bar this Saturday, July. What is the date? 15th, 9 to 11. Come see that. This has been St. John Forward Radio, and we'll be back next week, or well, I will be. And good night.